Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder and acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk to you about Krishna's promises. C.S. Lewis said, if we considered the unblushing promises and the staggering nature of rewards promised by God in Scripture, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, falling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Promise is defined as a verbal commitment, a pact, grounds for expectation. Any promise is precious, but how much more so when it comes from the heart of God and is eternal. As He is omnipotent, there is no possibility that He will not fulfill His promise. These are three of many, 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 as C.S. Lewis says, staggering promises in the Bhagavad Gita. In the fourth chapter, 37th verse, Krishna says, even if you are considered the most sinful of sinners, when you are situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you will be able to cross over the ocean of material miseries. 18th chapter, 65th verse. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. And the third one comes in the 58th verse of the 18th chapter. If you become conscious of me, you will cross over all the obstacles of conditioned life. Both in the absolute and the relative sense, so far this life is concerned, as well as the next life, we can stand on God's promises. Every one of us has dreams and goals in our heart, promises that we're standing on. We might be hoping for a child to turn around, to make better choices. We might be hoping to get our health back, to start a business, to get out of debt, to go into the ministry, to open a new temple. Deep down, you know that Krishna has spoken to your spirit, birthed a dream on the inside. But too often, because it takes a long time, doesn't happen in the way that we want it to happen or we imagined it would happen, we get negative and start thinking that it's not going to happen at all. When he was a young man, Prabhupada had a dream to spread Krishna consciousness in the West. He was married, he had children, he had a business. Seasons of his life went by. His business failed. He came to his 65th year. His youth was gone. He wasn't in very good health. He had no money. He had no connections. It seemed like it was all over. But he stood on Krishna's promises that my devotee will never perish. In other words, it's not over until God says it's over. He came to the United States of America in the 70th year of his life, and he did everything between the ages of 70 and 82. He did far more than most men with good looks, with connection, with health, with money would have been able to do had they started at the age of 20 and gone for 50 years until they were 70 years old. What happened there? Krishna fulfilled his promise by thrusting Prabhupada explosively forward in the last 12 years of his life. Many of us don't see God's best because we get discouraged and we give up too soon. Just because you don't see anything happening doesn't mean that Krishna's not working. That it's taking a long time doesn't mean that God's scratching his head, that he ran out of options. Because your mind is saying it's over, your emotions are saying no way, the circumstances seem impossible, none of that means that God is not going to do what he said he would do. The Lord is faithful to his word. If you'll just do your part and trust in him, though it looks impossible, And not let your mind or your emotions or other people talk you out of it. In due season, at the right time, and in the right place, He'll bring it to pass. It may not happen how we expect it or on our timetable, but He will not let us down. He will not let us down. He will not let us down. Let that sink in on the inside. I will not fail you, Krishna says. Everything is going to work out, Krishna says. I am in complete control. Aham sarvasya prabhava. From me come everything material and spiritual. I know the medical report. I've seen your balance sheet. I know the people who are coming against you. I know how big your dreams are. Now hear me clearly. I will not fail you. He will always find a way, even though it looks as if there is no way. All we have to do is dare to trust Him. He'll give us strength for every battle, wisdom for every decision, peace in the midst of turmoil and storm all around. He'll vindicate past wrongs. He'll pay you back for unfair situations. He will fulfill the innermost God-centered desires of your heart. Now, all we have to do is just come back to that place of peace. Quit living worried, stressed out, wondering if it's going to happen. Krishna has you in the palm of His hand. He has not failed in the past, and He's not about to fail in the future. If you're familiar with the Mahabharata, the five Pandavas came stumbling out of the forest after 13 years of exile, disoriented, weakened. During the entire 13 years of their exile, Duryodhana, their enemy, had amassed a fortune of resources, strength, and armies. All who came up against the Pandavas on the Kurukshetra field. It didn't look good in the natural. Queen Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, went to Krishna and she prayed to Him. Krishna, I know it doesn't look good. The odds are against them. They're outnumbered. They're outmanned. But if it is Your desire, could You bring my sons safely? Could You provide them a boat whereby they can cross safely over the dangerous ocean of the Kurukshetra war, in which there are lethal fish and sharks like Dronacharya, Bhishma Dev, Karna. Bring them safely to the other side. All the odds were against Him. But after the 18 days of battle, when the Pandavas were the only survivors, Kunti declared that one day the sun may grow cold, the moon may grow hot, but Krishna will never break a promise made to His devotees. Think about it. The sun rises and sets according to whose order? The seasons change according to whose order? The planets fly in their orbits at tens of thousands of miles an hour without colliding according to whose order? Now, do you think that you can trust the promise of that personality who causes everything to happen by His determination? Hudson Taylor, the founder of the China Inland Mission, hung on his wall a plaque which had two Hebrew names of God. One was Ebenezer and the other was Jehovah Jireh. The first word means, hitherto, up to the present time, the Lord has helped us. And the second word means that the Lord will see to it and He will continue to provide for us in the future. The one looked back and the other looked forward. One is reminded by these two names of God of His faithfulness. If He's helped me in the past, I'm going to trust Him to help me in the future. We need to summon up, muster up this unshakable confidence that God is 100% reliable 100% of the time. He always has the final say. I know what Krishna says is true. I'm not going to be moved by what I see or discouraged by what I don't see or give up because it's taking a long time. I will learn to magnify His promises rather than magnifying the problems. If I do that, the Lord will show up and make sure that his promises come to pass. The Lord is not obligated to bring to pass what we say. When we go to the temple, or the church, or the mosque with our shopping list and our petty little desires, the Lord doesn't have to listen to all those self-centered, self-serving requests. But he is obligated to listen to his own words repeated back to him. So if we quote to him scripture, if we quote back to Krishna his promises in the Bhagavad Gita, instead of complaining about the situation or begging or whining to him, he will recognize his own words. He will bring his promises full circle, and that will cause him to respond. In the country of Armenia in 1988, Samuel and Danielle sent their son Armand off to school. Samuel squatted before his son, hugged him, looked him in the eye, said, "Have a good day at school. Remember, no matter what, I will always be there for you." The boy ran off to school. Hours later, a powerful earthquake rocked the area, affected 45% of the country, 25,000 people died. Samuel grabbed his coat and headed for the schoolyard. When he reached the area, what he saw brought tears to his eyes. The whole school was flattened. Other parents were standing around crying. Samuel found the place where Armand's classroom used to be, and he began pulling a broken beam off the rubble. Then he grabbed some bricks and put them to the side. And then he grabbed some more bricks. One of the parents looking on asked, "What are you doing?" "Digging for my son," he said. The man then said, "You're just going to make things worse. The building is unstable." And he tried to pull Samuel away from his work. He set his jaw and he kept working. As time wore on, one by one, all the parents left. Then a firefighter came by. And he tried also to pull Samuel away from the rubble. Samuel looked at him and said, "Won't you help me?" He left. Samuel kept digging. All through the night and through the next day, Samuel continued digging. Parents came and placed flowers and pictures of their children on the ruins. But Samuel just kept working on. After some time, late in the afternoon of the second day, he thought he heard a faint voice. "Papa." Maybe it was real. Maybe it was his imagination. But with renewed energy, he began throwing bricks this way and that way and throwing rubble this way and that way. And finally, he heard again, "Papa." Finally, he could see his son. "Come out, son," he said with relief. "No," Armand said, "let the other kids come out first because I know you'll get me." Child after child emerged until little Armand appeared. 14 children were saved that day because little Armand told them to keep their calm, keep their composure throughout the long night and the long day because my father is there for me, because my father is faithful to his word. Another short story. Heard about a preacher and his friend. They got a fishing boat, left from Texas City. Their destination was the Bolivar gas wells. And before they left the dock, they asked the dock master, "What's the best way to get back?" He said, "It's easy. Just go due north. You can't miss it." So they went out to the Bolivar gas wells. They were down south fishing and didn't notice the passage of time. Became evening. Didn't notice that a heavy fog was rolling in and enveloping them. And when they came to their senses and looked at their surroundings, they realized that they had better weigh anchor and get started headed home. They couldn't see their hands in front of their faces. The preacher said, "I think that Texas City is this way. I feel that Texas City is this way." And his friend said, "No, no, no. I feel my mind is telling me that Texas City is this way." They said, "Well, let's look at the compass." And the compass told them that Texas City was yet in a different direction than they both were certain. They decided to follow the compass and they headed north. They had to go very slowly because it was pitch dark outside. 30 minutes went by, 45 minutes, 1 hour, hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half. His friend started to freak out. said, I know, I'm certain that we're going in the wrong direction. Another 15 minutes, another 30 minutes went by, and his friends said, you're taking me out to sea on 6 gallons of gas. And he decided he would stick to the compass. Another 30. They'd been going for 2 hours, and the gas was on its vapors when finally the lights of Texas City began to emerge. What is our point? The Lord's words will override the darkness. The Lord's words will overcome the fog. What God says is true. It's men who are turned into liars. Men don't have the capacity to fulfill their promises. They're not the controllers, they're the controlled. They're controlled by time, by circumstances, by conditions, by weather, by hunger, by thirst, grief, sickness, birth, death, disease, and old age. Men don't have the knowledge, they don't have the power to come through on their promises. But for God, there's no difference between His will and His action. He simply wills that millions of universes come into existence, and there's no difference between His willing and the actual accomplishment of the task. Why? Because His capacity is unlimited. I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe what God says. In spite of how I feel, no matter what my mind is telling me, no matter what logic is saying, I'm going to keep acting like what God says in the Bhagavad Gita is true. If I do this, I'm certain that I will see the shore come into sight. Heard about Vanetta Flowers. Her dream was to compete in the Olympics, in the long jump, as well as in the sprinting. Even as a young girl, everyone noticed how quick and how fast and how strong she was. She trained for the 1996 Olympics and just missed qualifying by a tick. And she had to make a decision. I've already invested 13 years in training. Do I want to invest another 4 years for the 2000 Olympics? She decided she would. 17 years she invested altogether. In 2000, she was in the best shape of her life. She tried out for the sprinting and the long jumping, and again, just missed. She thought, it's all over. 17 years of training have all come to naught. It wasn't but a few days later that her husband came back from the gym with a notice that he'd found, wanted women who are expert in sprinting and the long jump to try out for the 2002 Winter Olympics in the bobsled. He said, honey, you should check this out. She said, I've never even seen a bobsled. I don't know what a bobsled is. She tried out for the women's bobsled team, and not only did she make the team, but she became the first Afro-American woman to ever win gold in the Winter Olympics. Because your plan didn't work out, your business went under, a loved one died, it doesn't mean that God isn't in control. You have to come back to that place of peace. Refuse to live your life negative, bitter, and discouraged. I trust you, Lord, that you know what you're doing, and in due season, you will bring every God-centered promise to fulfillment. Our attitude should be, I know, Lord, that you'll never fail me or let me down. It may not look good now, but I believe one day I'll look back and understand how you used this situation to my advantage. Faith is all about trusting. You have to know down deep that Krishna or God has your best interest at heart. Too many people, if they don't qualify for the new home, if they don't get the promotion, if they don't get into the college of their choice, instead of believing that God has something better in store, they get all down and depressed and they never end up seeing the promise come to pass. They ask themselves, is it worth it? We train, we sacrifice, we believe, but it doesn't look like anything's happening. Is it worth it to keep going? Is it worth it to keep treating this person right even though they're treating me wrong? Is it worth it pursuing my dreams when I've had so many setbacks? Is it worth it to keep trying to overcome this addiction even though I've already failed so many times? I have a suggestion. Instead of looking down at the problems, look up at the promise. If you'll look up with your eyes of faith, you will see your Heavenly Father up there with a big smile That's my boy. That's my girl. You're doing good. Keep going. Don't give up. When those voices come saying, stop, give up, you're wasting your time, use your imagination to see Krishna up there with his raven black hair, peacock feather jauntily tucked in his crown, flute to his lips, with an enchanting smile on his face, knowing that if God believes in you, it doesn't matter what or who comes against you. He's saying to you today, I supported you in the past, and I assure you of my support in the future. I will never fail you. If you'll put every negative thought aside, shake off every disappointment, knowing that if God is for you, if God is saying yes, it doesn't matter who's saying no. Krishna has the final say. In those foggy seasons of life, make up your mind that you're going to trust Krishna's promises. Don't listen to those other voices. Krishna promises he'll get you home safely every time. Some of you are living too stressed, too worried, wondering if it's ever going to happen. No, Krishna has you in the palm of his hand. He's never failed you in the past, nor will he fail you in the future. If you dare to trust the faithfulness of Krishna, he promises that he will fulfill all the God-centered desires of your heart in this life, and in the next life, he'll take you back to home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much for your kind attention. If you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna
Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama
Rama.
Rama.
Hare Hare.